that all right?
Okay, we're good. 6:02.
Okay. Call the meeting of the Laws and Rules and Government Services Committee, 6:02. Thank everybody for coming. Okay, we'll get moving. First motion is to approve the minutes of last month's meeting.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, well, they made the motion. Let's see if I second it. Any discussion? I read them. I didn't have any problems with them. I thought they were fairly accurate. So. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Carried 4-0. Okay. Resolution 273, establishing a policy to terminate current litigation between the County of Ulster and the Catskill Mountain Railroad. Legislator Donaldson?
Yeah, as a sponsor of this, I have some changes.
Thank you. Okay. Will you give us a second, Legislator Donaldson?
Just a copy, too.
Now, you note that the changes that I'm requesting to put in here are well, the beginning is establish a policy to terminate the current instead of policy to suspend the current litigation.
Did That's you hear this, point. Legislator Roth? Here comes Legislator Roberts, so let's give him 10 seconds.
Did you get this?
Yeah, get ready.
Let me have one to put in with.
Right in front of you there.
Oh, thank you. I got it.
Are you Legislator Roberts?
You're not late. Fine.
That one. That's
good.
I had that
out
there.
Okay. Legislator Roberts, we just approved the minutes to the.
We just adjourned the meeting?
Yeah. We just approved the minutes from the last month's meeting. And it was 4-0. Can we add you
yes,
to approving them? So it's 5-0. The minutes to the minutes of last month's meeting. So now we're on resolution. The first resolution we're going to discuss tonight is resolution 273, establishing a policy to terminate the current litigation. Legislator Donaldson has an amendment, a couple
right.
of amendments.
And if you like with the amended piece that I gave you, you'll notice that it says changes to suspend the current litigation between them.
Not terminate.
Not terminate. And the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whereas.
Wait a second. That's on the back of mine, I think.
4,
5, 6, 7.
But if you look at the new one.
Okay.
Anyway, the change is that there, whereas significant, I'll have it on the 8th one on the new one.
Okay.
Significant litigation expenses expected to be incurred in the next 6 weeks as a result of recently imposed deadlines and motion practices. And the next one, and whereas adjourning these deadlines for time being to allow the county and the railroad to continue to discuss resolution outlines issues between the parties of the best interest of both parties with respect to controlling litigation costs, productively resolving the dispute between them now, and therefore be it resolved that the county will agree to adjourn the litigation until January 31st, 2015, so that a settlement can be negotiated with the railroad, and then legal expenses can immediately be stopped on both sides. Be it further that resolved that the county attorney, that would be, it's a blank that I have in there, is directed to participate in an adjournment request to submit to be submitted by the Ulster County Supreme Court, and be it resolved that during their period, which is the same thing that was before, it just changed that period.
Just adding and on the track the very, it carries.
What's that?
Just adding on the track.
And adding on the very end, the Class 1 railroad on the track it carries passengers on, and further resolved that the county makes no commitment to further operation of the Catskill Mountain Railroad after the lease expires. That would be my amendments, if I could get somebody to second the amendments, that would be nice.
I will second it for the purpose of discussion. Actually, let me finish reading it. Chris, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. I'm not the attorney of record in this matter, but I see that the county attorney is here, and I just have a procedural question. Is there a discovery order in place that was executed and ordered by the judge?
Yes, there is.
And does that discovery order set for certain discovery deadlines that the court has ordered be followed by the parties?
And the court was adamant about following those deadlines at the last conference that I attended. We have been on time with the scheduling order. We have one more deposition that needs to be conducted. We've conducted three. They've conducted three. Current issue is all of the motions have now been perfected, and they are sitting in front of the judge for a decision. So the motion practice is not continuing at this point in time, but it could in the future, depending on what is provided. The judge ordered that the Catskill Mountain Railroad, in its scheduling order, turn over all of its minutes from 2004 through 2014. They have decided to ignore that. Right now I'm asking the court to intervene again because now they're in contempt of a court order. Interestingly, they did not provide most of the minutes for 2014 and some for 2013. When requested and asked during the deposition, no one seemed to remember whether or not there was a meeting, and if there was a meeting, what happened at the meeting. Interestingly, though, they did remember certain other things very specifically. The other motion that's pending the motions that are pending right now is a motion to compel their financial records. We have not seen one iota of financial records from them. They have objected to them. We're waiting for a decision from the judge. It could be today, tomorrow, or any day now. He did say he would expedite that decision. I believe it, as fiduciaries for the county, it is unwise. There's no rush to do this right now. Decisions are pending from the court, and there is no rush to do this, and it is unwise to enter into this litigation and say stop when things have been done, when my office has spent an enormous amount of time, as it does on any case that comes before it, to make sure that the county is protected.
Has anyone requested an adjournment?
No.
Any of the discovery deadlines?
No. Initially, there was an adjournment requested in May, so there was an adjournment requested in May. But the judge was adamant when we met with him on the 4th of August that none of the discovery had taken place. And one of the issues is the failure to turn over records from the Catskill Mountain Railroad, which the county is entitled to see. You should know what their financial condition is,
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead. I'm going to speak in executive session, I hope, tomorrow night.
Okay. The question I have for you is, they are a private company, so we have private vendors that do work for the county all the time. We don't say to them, give us your books. You know, we don't ever ask. I've never heard of us asking a private vendor.
It's in the lease.
It is in the lease.
It's in the lease. Okay. And they have refused to let us have
copies. Okay, well, if it's in the lease, that's fine. If it's in the lease, that's fine. I did not realize that.
Isn't also their current financial situation, isn't that part of the whole calculation for rent as well?
Obviously, and it's also part of the...
So has rent changed over this period of time at all?
Rent has changed in the last 2 years, maybe three. I had a list at the last executive session. Started out with a few hundred dollars a year, and in the last 2 years, we've received $4,500.
But without financial records, you don't know if that is commensurate with their revenue or not, correct?
The county has two excellent CPAs that work for the county, and once we have the financial records, those are the experts, our own experts, that are going to look at them and make some determinations or give the legislature and the executive some advice as to what they see, because we are not, none of us are experts, at least I don't think so, here in finance, but they are licensed CPAs too.
Legislator Rock.
Thank you. Through you to the county attorney. Would an adjournment be necessary to discuss a settlement?
No. Settlement discussions are ongoing as we speak. I have requested again that they show us some good faith and provide the financial records. As an attorney, I need to advise the county, and I think Attorney Verghucci can agree to me. How can I advise the county properly if we don't know what their financial condition is?
All right. I have no illusions that I'm going to be successful in this, but I will make some serious comments here. This lawsuit began because of bullying, and that's basically what it was. If you take a look at the C9 bridge and the inspections that went through that for the past, since April, it was a continuation of that bullying. And my point on this is that it's time to stop that. We've bled enough. And right now, they have, 20 months left, I think? And the lease will be over. And I understand that, you know, it's if we can bleed them dry, they can't be successful. And I understand that mindset. You know, that's the way lawsuits could work. If you can bleed the opponent dry, then they dry up, they're gone. Over the past couple weekends, they showed some success in what they were doing, and that was exactly what they did. The county did not want to see. So my take on this is very simple. I think it's time to stop it and move on. Let's see if they could actually do what they claim they can do. And despite what people may say about rail banking, of course, we understand that rail banking is not about really rail banking. It's a legal maneuver to try to stop somebody from reclaiming the property from a right-of-way or an easement that was given for a railroad specifically. And, of course, there was a lawsuit that it just got settled in Supreme Court. And I think it was settled in March of this year. I don't know if you had it. You asked for a copy of that, did you? I don't remember what the name of it was. Do you have
Is it the Yellowstone one? He has something in her office.
Anyway, that and what they did in that particular settlement was it pointed out very clearly that the landowner is going to be successful, and it happened out west. And out west, it's been at least the differences out west. Of course, it was established in the 1870s, the railroad, and into the 80s as opposed to the 1860s in the east. But what was interesting is all these rail trails have been about actually a real abandoned railroads, not about one that's actually existing. Along with that, but anyway, back to that, the rail banking, the lawsuits that will follow after this takes place, and I know of at least two that will be fighting the county. And there's 35 total. And who knows where that's going to be. So we're going to be needing to spend some more money on lawsuits later on. Oh, by the way, the case was the... I'm sure you probably know about this case.
Yeah, it does not affect us.
It affects
the
federal
government.
Federal properties.
Right. It does affect us. And it's my interpretation and also the experts that I've spoken to about this, that it does not affect us.
It doesn't, but it may eventually.
I don't think it does directly.
Well, it was no different when we dealt with civil rights issues. It was the federal government first that had to. In other words, you had to abide by the laws, but the states didn't. Eventually, the states had to. It's kind of a similar, not really the same thing, but there are some corollaries to it. But anyway, that's my take on this, and I know we're going to be. And, I also have some problems with, throwing somebody out before the lease is over with. So, I mean, we don't need to hammer this to death.
Well,
do your vote. Let's move on.
There's a Yellowstone injunction in place, so no one's getting thrown out in the meantime. The railroad can continue to do what it's doing until that injunction is either lifted or the lease terminates. So they're not in any. There's no prejudice against them from stopping them from. Continue on with whatever activities that they have.
Right, but they are spending money on litigation as opposed to, running some programs.
Well, I'll be happy to talk about some of the things that can't be discussed tonight here in executive session tomorrow night.
Let's go first.
Okay, thanks, Rich. I'll just say that was extraordinary, Dave. I'd never imagined you could make a logical straight line between the civil rights civil rights movement and the Catskill Mountain Railroad.
Well, I'm not making a comparison to that. What I'm making a comparison is that during the civil rights movements, what happened was the federal government, they said that they would do what they, in other words, people had certain rights, but the states didn't follow that. And later on, the federal government. I try to point out is in this case, what happens is right now with that railroad out west in Wyoming, the federal government is the ones that actually gave the right-of-ways, or got the right-of-ways, shall we say, because they pay for the railroads out west, whereas here they're more privately done.
No, I understand. So I understand the point you're making. It has
nothing to do with civil rights, but I'm just trying to make the point that at first, it changes. So in other words, this is, and if you don't think these people that have that, those right-of-ways or own them, if you don't think they'll use that, I think they will.
I understand.
And they'll make the point that the property is really theirs. And it is really theirs. And we're going to have to take it from them.
Thanks. I'll be really brief.
Yeah, it's 35 of them.
Don't have to beat this to death. At caucus, our minority counsel advised us that it would not be wise for the legislature to pass this resolution at this point, and there's I think all of our attorneys, I know for a fact two of them, I haven't spoken particularly about this with Cappy himself, and the times I have, it's been I haven't 100% understood where his position is after talking to him on this resolution. It shouldn't be done, I don't think, by resolution. If there is a settlement to it, the county legislature, the county executive, and the Catskill Mountain Railroad have to sign off. And I take a little bit of umbrage to the remark that Legislator Donaldson made about the county intentionally trying to bleed the Catskill Mountain Railroad dry. I think were that the case, we would have entered into litigation with them and not the other way around. The letter to CURE was not litigation. That was not a way for us to bleed the railroad dry. It was to preserve the county's right as a landlord to correct deficiencies with the lease. The Catskill Mountain Railroad decided on their own, instead of correcting the deficiencies or coming to the table and discussing, these are the things that we can fix and these are the things that we can't fix, they chose to enter into litigation with the county over it. So if there's a comment that we're trying to bleed the railroad dry, I disagree wholeheartedly with that statement.
Well, yeah,
just sit down.
When someone is told they have to leave,
not what they were told.
It is what they told. They were told to vacate because they wouldn't live up to the lease, and so therefore they had to go. They had absolutely no choice. Their only choice was to die or litigate.
Through the chair, did the letter to CURE say get off the property?
No, it said to CURE. In fact, they could have shown some good faith, and there were a lot of things in there that they could have cured without very little expense, such as providing the financial records, which they refused to do, as well as the insurance. You should know that they have now increased their insurance limits from $2 million single occurrence, $4 million aggregate. We have been insisting and trying to negotiate with them for months to raise it, but they haven't raised it for the county. They raised it for these entertainment events that they're having. They've now raised it to $3 million and $6 million for the Polar Express, for Thomas the Tank, but not for us. So, as an attorney, my concern always is what's the liability of the county? If there was an accident and there was a train full of people on the train, people don't sue. You can ask Attorney Rigucci. He does civil litigation. They're not going to sue for $2 million or $4 million. They're going to sue for $100 million. Whether or not they get it is one thing. But that's the avenue they're going to take. You should also know that it's public record. I did some research. I've been intensely involved in this litigation, so I decided to do some research, and I went on the docket, the court's docket here. And I found a lawsuit that was commenced in 1999. Someone was riding a bicycle on a crossover on the track. They fell, and they seriously injured themselves, broke a shoulder. Catskill Mountain Railroad is supposed to provide us with indemnification under the lease and insurance coverage. Well, guess what? We were named. The plaintiff named the Catskill Mountain Railroad, the County of Ulster, and the IDA. That happens. But instead of coming forward and indemnifying us, they made a motion for summary judgment asking the court to determine that the county was responsible for
this. Well, them or their insurance company?
Them. And then after the county had spent over $11,000 in defense money at that time, when they requested that they be reimbursed, when Mr. Murray requested that they be reimbursed for it under the lease, they thumbed their nose up at the county. So the county then had to start what we call a declaratory judgment action, a separate action against the Catskill Mountain Railroad to recoup the expenses that they should have provided. A $60,000 settlement was reached in that lawsuit, and it was paid by the Catskill Mountain Railroad after it had been through those two, and as well as there was an appeal pending. It was scheduled for trial, and they settled it on the eve of trial. They settled it. So there's another reason why I think you should be cautious. If they're supposed to be protecting the county, and you as legislators are supposed to be protecting the county as a whole, you should be cautious about what you do here. Right now we're waiting for decisions, and we're going to be exchanging more documents, I would hope. We've done our share. We're going to be exchanging more documents with them, and hopefully the documents that we've asked them for as a result of the depositions that took place, they'll provide for us. But we're still waiting for the judge to decide on what financial records they are going to give us.
Can I ask a quick question, or do you want to ask?
Go ahead. Kevin was waiting to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's say Roberts.
I've already had my question answered in a roundabout way. I appreciate that. But just since I got the floor, I'm going to have to take your advice and vote no on this resolution.
And my one question that I had was, you mentioned that they increased their insurance. Was that conditioned on the licenses they purchased for these events?
Yes.
But the condition in the lease hasn't been satisfied. It's only been satisfied as a result of the events.
The condition of the lease it hasn't named the county as an additional insured. Okay. Only those event entities.
That's outstanding.
There's also a clause in the lease that says that they cannot enter into any insurance agreements or name anyone else as a third-party insured without the written approval of the county, but they've gone ahead and done that anyway.
At this juncture, given even at the caucus, we pointedly asked the attorneys to insert ourselves in the middle of litigation at this juncture, I think,
Well, can I just say something? I'm not disagreeing with you. I just have a couple of things that I think, just comments and things. One, if the judge agrees to see their financial records, how long do they have to provide them? 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? If they appeal that, does it go out 6 months or 8 months? I mean, what I'd like to see from your office is a timeline, like a flow chart.
We don't know what the trial date's going to be yet, but we think it could conceivably be in the spring or summer or even later.
Yeah, so there's 10 months gone.
We don't decide that. The court decides that.
I understand that, but when you really look at the financial end of it, and listen, in my opinion, this stuff should have been done 10, 12 years ago when I was on the legislature, and the county drugged their heels on it. We've asked for audits. We've asked for a lot of different things. Robert, Pete, and I, this should have all been done 10 years ago because they haven't. I sit back and laugh now because they're not they're in violation of their lease, but they've been in violation of their lease since the second year they were in business, and nobody in the county did anything. Legislators didn't do anything. Attorney staffs didn't do anything. They just went. So my thing is,
the financial records are going to be produced when the judge makes a decision, and once he makes a decision, he signed a letter order that provides that once he makes his decision, then will have 2 weeks, the county, to depose their treasurer and, in a deposition and ask questions about the financial records. And then
can
at that
appeal
point...
it?
They could, but it's not a final determination. It's not
something.
I mean,
could it go 22 months just with appeals and losing arguments?
They're already
and
in contempt
one
of the judge's
one.
Order to provide the minutes from 2000. And they all, you know, they there were meetings. They agreed at some point that there were meetings. But
well, there has to have been, because the board of directors would have had to vote to take us to court.
There, yes, and any settlement
does a
proposals.
Public company have to have minutes
to
meetings.
There are shareholders meetings. There are board of directors meetings. There has to be minutes of those meetings because the people own stock in the company.
Under business corporation law, they have to do that.
Okay,
they're required to do that.
So. That no, that's fine. And B, even another thing. I'm going to be done in a minute. We were full into lawsuits with the jail project. And then we stopped and decided to settle them. So stopping lawsuits sometimes is not necessarily a bad thing.
I'm not suggesting it's not, but I'm suggesting at this juncture, given everything we have, and you know, we have all kinds of things being thrown out, but we haven't heard, and we've not been able to get specific responses on some of this. And we've had attorneys that say, why are we getting involved in the middle of this? Well, we had our own attorneys say that.
Can I just tell you, going to finish up. One, we've been told from the county $600,000 was going to be we were going to get $600,000 2 years ago in metal, tearing up the tracks. We haven't gotten that. 2 months ago in executive session, we were told we were going to get exactly what we paid in attorney's fees to these folks, Keene and Bean. Have you gotten the attorney fees? How much has been billed? How much is expected? You know, how many hours haven't been billed? I haven't gotten it yet. So,
but we have had the same issue on the other side. So,
but I don't care about the other side.
What this is about. And I think
no, but if our side doesn't produce things that we've asked for and they've said they were going to do, and I would just tell you, again, I am a big rail trail. I want the rail trail there. Mm-hmm. It could be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I spoke to an attorney tonight who I have a tremendous amount of respect from. A retired gentleman, lives in Marbletown, Stone mm-hmm. Ridge. Does a lot of volunteering in the community, was an attorney, not around here. And I wish he would come in and lay out his argument because he was brilliant. And he's not a rail trail guy, he's not a railroad guy, he really has no dog in a fight, but he's been looking into this. And he made me think that probably the county, we're not going to get out any earlier. They're not going to get out any earlier. If they are, it could be a couple months tops. Mm-hmm. I can't admit maybe I was wrong, or, you know, it's become a righteous fight about I'm going to win at all costs, and this guy is this guy has a lot of experience. Anyway, it made me think that it's not all pie in the sky. We're not going to be having a railroad. We're not going to be having a rail trail in 3 months or 6 months from now. There's still possibly a long haul, and they may live up. They may still be there in 22 months and then gone, and we could end up spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. So. That's all I'm saying. That's why.
I hear what you.
If you heard this guy speak, he was.
Well,
good.
But it's easy to have a conversation, and this is what this has all been about. It's easy to have a conversation when you're hearing one side of an issue, and there's not a discussion.
And that's what we're hearing.
It. We are hearing one side. We're hearing
no
someone
me,
on the outside looking in, opining on this. This resolution specifically. Buys us nothing but inserting us into the middle of a lawsuit and allowing someone who has not met their obligations to the county off the hook.
The problem is that we should be inserting ourselves into the lawsuit.
But
every
this isn't
lawsuit.
The way to do it.
I mean, we should be advised when lawsuits are happening.
I don't
and
disagree.
We should have been advised that there's $75,000. And we should have been advised when we get... that they've spent over $90,000 in cash, cold hard cash, and who knows how many man hours. I have no idea how many, because they're not really recorded. So I would venture to say money-wise, they probably match the 90. But we'll just keep bleeding. I put the resolution in.
With all due respect, I give legislative counsel every month a report on litigation. I also meet with legislative counsel every month, and we discuss the litigation. And I would presume
I would like to have all the money that has been spent on this and where it was spent.
And legislative counsel has a list. He asked for it. We meet every month. We discuss all of the activities and lawsuits that are currently pending in the county are the ones that we expect. So I would be happy to meet with this legislature on a regular basis in executive session if that's what you think is appropriate. And we could have a session to go over litigation. I may bore you to death, but we could do that. When I tell you the litigation that comes through my office every day, it's not just one or two pieces of litigation. The county is a target. We have deep pockets, okay? We are defending lawsuits left and right in my office. Recently, we had a lawsuit from the town of New Paltz, the IDA issue, named the county as a defendant. We have moved to dismiss that one in my office because the county legislature never took any action on that. It shouldn't be a party, okay? But that's one of the most recent ones. But we've got slip and falls, we've got car accidents, we've got inmates who sue us. It runs the gamut. And I would be happy to have an executive session on a regular basis with the legislature if that's what you want.
Let's set the rocks next.
I just want to say to one of Legislator Donaldson's points that I have been disappointed and continue to be. I've shared it with B. I've shared it with the county executive. I've shared it with everybody who will listen that I believe that we should have had to approve the Keenan Bean contract because it is over $50,000. And the county executive and I have had many conversations about when we were looking into the audit committee. One of the options for us to avoid the county executive having the authority to veto it would have been to make all of the parts of the, you know, to make all the parts of the audit a separate contract. And therefore, you know, the CAFR would be a separate part. And the DOT single audit would be a separate part. And then each of those would be under $50,000, and he wouldn't have had to approve it. And he told me that would be circumventing the charter. I believe that the legislature not having to approve the Keenan Bean contract because it spanned multiple years or it's different contracts, I believe that sidestepped the charter. I've been very disappointed about that. And I think that if it would have come to the legislature, it would have passed. But you know, that didn't happen, and here we are. But I totally agree that we should have had to approve the contract and that we should be aware of how much money is being spent there. But that doesn't mean that we passed this resolution because those things went wrong.
Let's sit down. So then we're going to move on.
Yes, and in fact, to make your point, Langdon Chapman became a situation because they were going to put him in at 49.5, which I yelled bloody murder about because it was wrong. It was a contract, and therefore it had to be approved. And as a result, they did that. The legislature did do that, put it in as a contract. And
county executive put it through as a contract at that point.
Right. That was his argument. Right. That was his argument. But here, this one, 75, and then other legal fees along with it, which is, I know, is well over 90. Because they hired the attorney from Washington. I can't think of her, Washington, D.C., I think she's from. I can't think of her name. I'm not sure exactly what she did, but I think she got about 10 grand for it. But having said that, it's all part of the same thing. So my take on it is we should know. And what I would like to do is, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, is to, you know, get a request of all the money that's being spent on this litigation. And time. I'd like to know what all the money was spent, what it was spent for, and the time, the attorney's time in the county attorney's office.
If we're allowed to request it, that's fine. I don't know.
I've provided that to the legislative council already.
Okay.
As far as the attorney's time provided in the office, they're on salary. There's no way that I could sit down and isolate every single.
How many different items does each
wasting,
one work on every day?
I would be wasting the county's money if I asked them to sit down and.
But if you're applying for a grant and there's in-kind services, it is broken out. You would have.
Those are different, though. The grants are in-kind services.
No, but there could be railroad grants someday for the county we're applying for. Then that would have to be broken out.
It could be, but at this point, there isn't a railroad grant.
Okay.
And I don't disagree that we haven't had enough information, and I do think we need as a body to discuss the things that would ensure that we have the right amount of information. I don't believe this resolution is the way to go about it. I think we should put our heads together and figure out what are the things as it relates to contracts, et cetera, that we should be talking about to ensure, and what's the process to ensure we're getting the information we need with which to make a decision. And, you know, for that, from that perspective, I would vote no for this.
Okay.
Call the question.
We still have a motion on the floor.
There is a motion, and there's a second. Call the question.
On the amendment?
I believe it's. I believe this motion's on the amendment, isn't it? Because Dave said he wanted to make these amendments.
Can I ask a question? Usually, this motion, the original one's never been passed, so what's the difference? We're just voting on one thing.
Because it was offered in one form, it has to be changed somewhere in order to be in the new form.
I guess. Usually what comes out of committee is
Or you could withdraw
version.
Your second. And just vote on the resolution.
Now I'm getting confused.
Well, if you can accept the amendment and refuse the resolution.
We could if we wanted to.
It's cleaner to do it twice. Do the amendment and do
okay,
the resolution.
Okay, so all in favor of Dave's amendment, I'll be a yes with Dave. All in favor, aye. Opposed? It lost 2-3. So now we're going to do Dave's original.
On the original?
On the original, correct? On the original motion, all in favor, aye, I'll be with Dave. Opposed? Failed 2-3. Thank you. Thank you, Bea.
I'm here also for the animal rights one.
Okay,
Susie's
sure,
on vacation,
sure.
So
can
I
can we take that one now?
If you had any questions
Let's do
about
that, for
that.
Sure.
So then
Bea
Susie's away this week, so. And I may not be answer all of your questions on that one.
On the animal law?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be 3.
I'll move it.
316.
309.
Oh, 309. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's the next one.
It is next anyway.
I'll move it.
You know, is your second?
Move
by Ron. Any discussion? Let's sit around.
This was discussed at length in Law Enforcement Committee. I don't think that it's ready yet to go for a public hearing.
I
know that legislator. I supported it in law enforcement. Everybody else was supporting it. And if I can quote Don Gregorius directly, why don't we just send it to public hearing and we can fix it afterwards? Which I find to be a colossal waste of the people's time and money. Because when we just send something to public hearing for the heck of it, not only do we pay to advertise it as advertise the public hearing, but then we blow a month and a half.
How much money is that?
$300.
You just okay the resolution.
Spend I don't know. I agree with.
I have a lot of large concerns about it. I have concerns about enforceability. I have concerns about due process because I don't understand, and nobody's been able to help me to understand why the justice courts would be required to have this heard, because they're not. It's not a violation or a misdemeanor. A lot of times when we have something like this, we would propose an administrative hearing officer to handle the due process. In addition to that, am I wrong about that, Babe?
Well, actually, you could do it in the justice court because it's not a misdemeanor or a felony.
At that point, at that point, though, would the district attorney's office be required to prosecute cases?
No. It's just like the social host law, it depends on who prosecutes it. He could, but this gives the enforcement officer the authority to prosecute it, just as a police officer. The DA doesn't go in and defend traffic tickets.
He does. They do if they're state police officers, because they're not required to. But at that point, state police officer cannot act as the prosecutor in cases in justice courts anymore. And not every town has a town prosecutor. So what happens in that case?
I did the town prosecutor thing for a while.
I understand.
That's the state police are not prohibited from prosecuting it because of some kind of law.
No, it's an internal.
It's
I understand.
Something that has to do with their bargaining unit. Also, we all know what the story
is. Yeah, it
has
to do with overtime. It has to do with state spending on overtime.
All I can tell you is that Attorney Plonsky is experienced in this type of law. She has privately.
I'm sorry,
Susie Plonsky. She has been in court and successfully defended what she calls animal rights, but actually animals have no rights under
that's,
the law.
That's correct. Under the law, animals are still considered
yes,
property.
Yes, property. So, but she successfully prosecuted a couple of cases, and she put a lot of time and energy into this. There was a request to meet with legislative counsel about what his concerns were, and that request or that invitation was never responded to. So I believe that this law is strong and sound and that it can be prosecuted at this point. It doesn't criminalize it. It's a civil violation, not a criminal violation.
But the tethered dog is at least 6 months old. Who knows a dog is 5.5 months or 7 months old? I mean, it's...
It must be four times one-tenth
of the dog's weight. Are you going to weigh the dog in the morning or do you weigh the dog at night? I mean, it's to me, there's laws on the books, and probably nobody owns more dogs than I've owned in the last 10 years of my life, so I'm a huge dog lover, and I want to see all animals protected, but to me, this is certainly not something that the legislature should be taken up. There's state laws.
No state law about tethering, just so you know. This is something that's handled at the county level. Suffolk County has passed a law. Many other counties in the state have passed a law.
Prosecutions have there been? So let's find out how many prosecutions have there been in counties that have these laws.
All you have to do is talk to the dog control officers in all of the communities, and what you will find is what this law provides is a level of coverage for those individuals who really shouldn't be pet owners. They don't treat their animals properly, and today there's no recourse, and to give a level of protection for the animals. I'm kind of amazed that we don't think this is.
But this is this is not. Can people be banned from ever owning a dog?
That's a big deal.
You just said this protects dogs, but this law is not going to prohibit somebody from owning a dog. So let's pass a real law then that prohibits people who are cruel to animals or. I mean, some dogs would rather be outside.
Under state law,
other dogs would not. I mean,
under state law, with dogs being considered chattel or property, we cannot ban them from owning.
So it's not going to protect dogs from people that want to be.
Let's say Johnson.
My chagrin.
Well, I mean, it's just there has to be in other words, when you look at things, no different than like speeding, 55. Well, if somebody goes 56, do they ticket them? Normally not. And, you know, it's going to be the same thing. In fact, I think I always put my cruise control on 8 miles over the speed limit so I don't get pulled over.
So all the law enforcement officers listening to the tape?
When I'm on the highway, when I'm driving long distance, you want to get there. And I bet you 99% of the people in here would do the same thing.
Sylvia's probably saying slow down.
But anyway, the point is this is not, I don't think it's unreasonable, because even when they're talking about the length of the chain, it's giving you a specific that is low, really it should be better than that, but not allow them to, in other words, so it gives somebody some leeway. And, you know, and I've seen, you know, these people, I used to have somebody live next door that had a St. Bernard. And they had the thing chained on his 6-foot chain. It was disgusting. And the dog would bark and my house would shake. I mean, that's because he would bark constantly. He had no, they never played with the dog, never did anything with the dog. He was just out there. So anything, a squirrel would run by and he'd start barking. And if you ever hear a St. Bernard bark, man. But the point is, there's got to be some type of law that kind of helps protect them a little bit, and that's what this does. This isn't going to stop anything, but maybe it will stop a few people. Maybe they can, you know, ticket somebody and say, hey, look at, maybe they'll make them more aware.
It gives them something to hang on to, I agree.
Let's sit on.
Thanks. I've shared many of my concerns with Legislator Wishnick on this. We went back and forth on it. We had a lengthy discussion at our law enforcement committee meeting, more lengthy, I think, than some of the people who were there would have wanted it to be, and we weren't able to, in my opinion, get through all my concerns with it. We did make a lot of changes. Most of the changes here that you see in the track changes version in our packet are changes that were made there and will be the reason why I'm supporting it to go to public hearing, because we did make it better. I don't think it's where it needs to be yet. I don't know that I don't know 100% that I'd vote for it in the manner that it is. I think that it, you know, with all due respect to B and Suplonsky, I have serious concerns about this law turning neighbor against neighbor. If you're having a dispute with your neighbor, the neighbor could call the cops. If the neighbor knows the cops, they could ticket
exactly
you
it.
Improperly for some of these things, because some of these things are very much open to the officer's interpretation, like the dog being apparently free of any health condition that would be exacerbated by tethering. I have a concern about that being in there, because I wouldn't know. If I'm a dog owner and I treat my dog like a little prince, like he's like, for me and Rachel, it's like he's my child, for real. And
he does look like you.
And thanks. Left myself wide open for that one, so I'm just gonna.
Just keep that.
Nonetheless, I don't. I wouldn't know if he was. I don't know what health conditions of a dog could be exacerbated by tethering. Nor do I know if he has them, unless I have him checked by a vet, and he's checked by a vet every year. My vet is actually Brian Shapiro's fiance. So if anybody knows humane law, it'd be her. You know, this one right here, G, the new G, the former H, if there are multiple dogs, each must be tethered separately in a manner that prevents entanglement with one another. Well, if I've got to have them on a 10-foot tether, and I've got to have the other one on a 10-foot tether, and I don't have a gigantic yard, there is absolutely no way that those dogs are not going to somehow become entangled within one another when a rabbit runs through, or a chipmunk runs through, or a squirrel runs through. And then you've got the dog must be tethered in a reasonable manner that prevents entanglement around trees, poles, or other obstacles. I walk my dog on a 5-foot leash. I don't tether him, but I walk him on a 5-foot leash, and if he sees a squirrel or something, he's going to get tangled around himself. Anyway, go on.
My question is, a dog may be tethered outside for a maximum of 12 hours in any 24-hour period. Does that mean
stop watching and stop it?
Does that mean for the other 12 hours they have to be in a house?
No, it means that it can't be tethered. They could take them inside and bring them out again.
But the dog can be outside in a fence, in a pen area.
The dog can be outside, under this law, the dog can be outside in a fence all night, all day, as long as it has the shelter that's required.
So who's going
to
sit there and watch 12 hours? Who's going to sit and watch 12 hours? Is the sheriff's department going to have a sheriff?
No,
it's going to be the angry neighbors that you're fighting with.
I mean, I don't see who, aside from putting a video camera and then watching it for 12 straight hours, or having a law enforcement or a dog control officer sitting for 12 hours.
Those are my concerns about enforcement.
You know what? I don't see. I'm all over driving around in my phone truck. I don't see dogs. I see you, Len. I can see you. I don't see dogs tethered for hours at a time. I just don't see it. I see people walking dogs. I see them in their yards. I see them in houses when I go knock on the door to work. It's a great law. It feels good. It's a feel-good law. I mean, what's it going to do? I mean, it's like, we got so many more important things going on that this is going to make, I mean, a third subsequent violation. So if your neighbor's really mad at you, $1,000. Who the hell can afford $1,000 nowadays? Or 150 hours of community service, which is almost 40-hour weeks. It's almost a month straight of 8-hour days. And you have to register as an animal abuser?
Well, you don't have to, because there's no animal abuse registry yet.
Well, if it is
a stuff,
to me, it just, I just don't see the problem out there. So, Legislator Archer.
I guess I would say, you know, most laws aren't for, you know, are for those that you know, are habitual, I would say abusers. I mean, they don't take good care of their animals. And as a you know, as a dog control officer, you have nothing to fall back on when you go to try and have a conversation and have a rational conversation with the dog owner about their tethering, about, you know, the issues their neighbors are experiencing as a result of their not taking care of their animal. You have nothing to fall back on. What this law provides is some level of law that says to the individual, as the dog control officer goes and tries to discuss with them the challenges that they're presenting in their neighborhood and the way they're treating their animal. Without this, you know, the person can say, forget it. You know, I don't have to do anything. I can, at least now, if they're not properly taking care of their animal, there is a recourse. Without this, there's none.
Okay.
And that's
I don't think there's a recourse. Does the dog get taken away? Does the
yes.
dog get taken away?
Again.
Eventually,
yes.
yeah.
After what time?
Third.
It doesn't.
Surrendering the dog.
Oh, surrender the dog.
Yeah.
But they could then get another dog because they're not banned.
You may not see the problem, but I have seen the problem because I live in the city. In the city, there's all too many people that have dogs that shouldn't have dogs. And like to address what Legislator Ron pointed out, well, if you had two dogs and he has a little backyard, they're going to get mixed up. Well, you shouldn't have two dogs.
Well, that's an outrageous.
You know,
but
you know what if two dogs are living in a house with no yard? They're not even under worse conditions than 13 dogs. They need to walk them every day. Somebody's got 10 dogs in a house in the city of Kingston.
I have one dog.
And they're not under.
I've had the dog.
It's a big deal.
He's 12 years old. He's a beagle. I don't tether him because I purposely put a fence around it so he could run the backyard. I wouldn't have a dog if I had to tether him, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because I don't think you should have a dog. If you got to maybe tie him up once in a while, I can see. But, I mean, there's other things that you can do with a dog. There's coops that you get, larger ones. They give you more run. But you got to bring them inside. You have to interact with the dog. The problem is I see it in the city. I see people getting these. I got a neighbor that goes through a dog every month. He apparently gets these rescue dogs, and then he tethers them in the back, and he's all in there barking all the time. And so he's always doing it. And like I said, I had somebody that had St. Bernard with a 6-foot chain on it. They shouldn't have a dog.
No, but that dog can still be on it for 11 and a half hours a day.
Not a 6-foot chain, because the dog was 6 foot long.
All right. Yeah, that's 12-foot chain.
That's a big
chain.
Dog.
Yeah.
Can we find out how many? I'm sorry, let's say.
I'd like to add something, if you don't mind.
You're
I don't want to interrupt you, but no. I see you're very skeptical of this law. I see it as an opportunity because each dog needs a waterproof roof on their doghouse and a solid floor. Endless possibilities here. But, you know, all seriously, I've heard several times.
Robert's Dog Roofs, is that the new CPA?
Endless opportunities here, Ken. Maybe siding, vinyl siding, maybe a window.
That's what my dog does.
All dogs need a window. Fresh air.
He doesn't have a window, though.
Is that not in the requirements of the dog missile?
But I've heard several times that this law isn't perfect, and you know, and maybe Mayor Gallo or the city council should take this up. I can't see this being a county issue, and I'd like to see it maybe sent back to committee and see if your committee could perfect it, Ken, because you have said many a times that it needs work.
Can I ask a quick question? Another legislator has a question. Legislator Allen asks, what happens when someone ties their leash to a parking meter while getting a cup of coffee? Does that violate the law?
How long is the
leash?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't say. You can't. It specifically says they got to be tied to a leash a certain length of their body. So if they're tied to a parking meter and they run in and somebody...
Technically, yes.
So if somebody gets 3 cups of coffee, they lose their dog.
Tether means to...
No.
No? Well, I guess. Tether means to restrain a dog by attaching the dog to any object or structure, including without limitation, house, tree, fence, post, garage, or shed, by any means, including without limitation, chain, rope, cord, leash, or running line. Tethering...
For how long?
And I still have a problem, including without limitation. I still have a problem with words like without limitation being in these laws. When this started out, the words including but not limited to were in the law twice to describe, you know, things that were illegal or legal to do while tethering a dog. I don't think you can make law without limitation. I think law specifically has to have limitations so you know whether you're breaking the law or not. But, again, whatever. I agreed to let it go to public hearing. I want to let it go to public hearing.
And I also think if the Ulster County Sheriff is enforcing it on our end, the money should go in their budget.
It does.
It does.
It says Commissioner of Finance.
To set up a separate account in the Sheriff's Department for enforcement.
Yeah, it goes to him.
Because the Commissioner of Finance is in charge of the different funds in the budget. So he's the one that has to set up the fund.
It's most likely going to be the animal control officer.
The 50 bucks that we make from the law next year.
The municipality that's going to be
well spent.
Yeah, I just... Well, I think we discussed it. Any other discussions? And when a legislator says, let's pass it, we'll fix it after the public hearing, I kind of have nervous about that, too.
Rich, on that note, I'd like to make a motion to send it back to committee.
I'll second it. I don't think we have to discuss it. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? All right. Loses 2-3.
Yeah, I oppose.
Okay.
No, he's the Commissioner of Social Services. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said I opposed you.
So did we ever get a definite answer to Legislator Allen's question?
It would be a violation of the tethering.
So we're going to actually go to public hearing the law where somebody goes and gets it. You support that? Legislator Archer Donaldson, you support somebody tying your dog to
it? Don't go in and get a coffee when you're walking your dog. Get coffee before you go.
I don't support that. I think it's imperfect. I think we need to fix it.
Well,
I don't think you can have a law.
I walk my dog if they allow me to go in the place with the dog, fine. If they don't, I don't tie them up outside.
What it does open up is for somebody to go after somebody. It opens up for somebody not liking somebody and going after them. Yeah, listen, we beat it up. All right, all in favor of the resolution going to public hearing?
Aye.
I opposed. Carried 3-2.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to go first. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
You too.
Eagerly awaiting it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be out of here soon.
Resolution 315, adopting proposed local law number 2 for the collection of delinquent village property taxes.
Hold on. Sorry, I was thinking of a different one. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. I withdraw my motion on the resolution. Cab, you withdraw your second?
What does that mean?
I don't think he recognized me.
All right.
I recognize him all the time.
I move that we postpone this resolution in committee pending further discussion. I talked to the chair. He had asked me to postpone it in laws and rules so we could have some more discussion on it before it comes to the floor for a vote.
He did? He didn't say anything
village
to me.
Taxes.
Okay.
He did do that? He didn't say anything to me. I talked to him three times today.
That was the message that was relayed to me. So,
it doesn't seem like it was in the email.
Well, he's made a couple of comments about it, and I know that I got this. I got this information I just got. I'd like to look over also before we vote. But I'm not just doing it to be a jerk. I believe that's what his intention is. Fawn looks like she's backing me up on it. So
yeah, he mentioned it to me. Yeah. I talked to him like an hour ago before the meeting.
Well, maybe he did call me, and I don't have my phone.
So table it.
I'm not asking.
I was out in the back tethering
my dog. So that's my motion. A second?
Second.
Excellent.
All in favor or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, last one. Resolution 316, adopting proposed local law number 5. No, I know. I said next one, I think. Did I say that?
Best value.
Last one is page.
The best value, right. The best value that Mark gave us a presentation on last month. So, do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Legislator Archer makes a motion. Second.
Second.
Legislator Roberts.
We all fix that.
Any discussion on Resolution 316?
Call it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry 5-0. Okay. We didn't pass Resolution 317. I don't think we need to discuss because we were going to further discuss this in. It didn't pass environmental. We were going to further discuss it and have a. I'm pretty sure.
317 is the anti-gas station.
That's the motor vehicle. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought it was the fuel one.
I think it did.
I'm thinking of a different resolution. Yeah. We had one for the fuel cars. We're going
to
pass. Hopefully, we'll pass next month. Next month, we think we're going to pass.
All right, I'll move it.
Actually, I don't think it was a resolution this month. It was just discussion.
Right.
Motion.
I'll second this.
Legislator Robert seconds. Any questions? Legislator Long.
I am once again against this. I may be the only person to vote against it tomorrow night. I think that what this is intending to do is to make it so people don't have to think for themselves when they're driving into a gas station. They don't have to see when they see the price. They don't have to look for cash. They can just look for one price and then go in, and then that's it. In addition to that, I think that this is going to take a valuable discount away from consumers in Ulster County, and it's very disappointing because once again, one thing that's widely misunderstood is that the cash price is a discount. The credit price is not a larger price. It is a cash discount, and then the regular price is the credit price, because you cannot, under state law, charge more to use a credit card.
Then all they would have to do is put down the credit price and then say cash discount. Yeah. Come in for cash discount. So that's all they would have to do.
No one's going to do that, Dave. That's not how business works.
Why not? Why not? It's a right now it's a bait and switch.
It's not a bait and switch.
It's the way I look at it.
Can I make just a quick comment? I am in Orange and Dutchess County all the time, and they post both prices every single gas station.
No, they don't.
If they don't, the only way they don't is if cash and credit is the same price. If cash and credit is the same price, they have one sign, like Stewart's and some of the others that don't charge more for cash.
This law is based on the Dutchess County law.
Quick check. When I am all over Newburgh and Kipsey and Wappingers Falls, those gas stations have two prices for unleaded, premium. It's not a hardship for them. People are still going to get gas. They just know the price.
Mr. Chairman, it absolutely is a hardship for the gas station in a lot of places, especially in Ulster County, where a lot of towns have very specific zoning laws regarding the size of signs. You could, in essence, as a gas station owner under this law, be required to choose between offering a cash discount or dual pricing or any of those things, and violating local zoning.
Legislator Ronk, you've got to be the only person in the world that's sympathetic to oil and gas companies, because I sure as heck aren't.
You know what? For 3 years working for my family business, I dealt with the mom-and-pop gas station owners on a daily basis and know the plight of mom-and-pop gas station owner. And if what we want is to have all corporate-owned gas stations, then this is the kind of law
they
that's going to put those mom and pops over the
right.
over
they
the
mostly area. Are now.
I'm telling you right now, that's not true.
Rather than beat this to death, I'd like to call for a vote.
Well, let's sit around and finish this.
You got it. I mean, it's like
we could check the minutes from the last 6 months and hear the same thing.
I want to make sure that I'll just stop what I'm saying. But next time Dan's talking about something for
call
a really long time and beating a dead horse,
let's
I'll make
you
sure
can
I
finish.
Make a motion
to be shot. You can finish your comments.
I just call for a vote. You can keep talking. After the vote, I'll withdraw it. Go on. I've heard your argument 6 times.
Well, maybe some of the other people. I don't think that Kathy was here the last time.
Well, he changed my mind.
Very lucky.
Let's say that Ron changed my mind. I'm going to vote with him now.
I don't know what I was thinking, Rich.
I will tell you that a lot of people think that the gas station owners are making these outrageous profits, and they're not. Gasoline companies and the ones that will end up owning all of the gas stations when laws like this continue to be passed over and over and over again are the ones who are making outrageous profits. The average mom-and-pop gas station owner is about breaking even on the gas that they sell, no matter how many gallons they run through.
They make money on people coming in, getting a soda,
to their
milk,
store.
Snacks.
That's
correct. And they know that for every gallon of gas they sell, somebody spends $2.82 in a store.
Are you done, Legislator Rock?
Okay, Legislator Rock, can we call the question?
That's fine.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, Ken. That's wrong.
That's
all opposed?
Right. One in favor Legislator of Ron. Business development in Ulster County.
Okay, there's no guest. Okay, we're going to go. We're not finished yet. We have a late, well, actually, on new business, too. Late resolution 347, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute agreement with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services for the fiscal year 14 State Homeland Security Program, amending the county budget. This is 347. Any questions? And we need a motion. Legislator Roberts moved it. I'll second it. Legislator Ronk, any questions on 347?
No.
Are you okay with it?
The U.S. Postal Service?
This is all budgeted stuff. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, we're almost done. Any new business right now in the committee?
It appears you have some in your hand.
No, this is old business.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go, Legislator Ronk, we're going to go to old business quick.
I'm working on it.
Last month, I just mentioned about trying to come up with a policy for naming county buildings, roads, highways, rail trails, bridges, whatever the county wants to name. And I want to really thank Fawn, because Fawn did a lot of, did some research, kind of came up with a generic draft resolution. A lot of municipalities and governments do have a policy that there's not off the cuff that sounds good. They name things. There's a process it has to go through. So just for everybody's FYI, maybe next month we can have some kind of a resolution, and I'll be reaching out to everybody. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want to put the resolution in, and then we can
we'll put it in before next month's deadline. I don't think there's no deadline.
Is this the resolution?
Well, it's just a draft one. It's just not anything.
The research.
Yeah, it's not anything, but it's certainly, you know, it's not something that we would be creating the wheel. You know, it's something that a lot of municipalities, and Lynn, it's no different than you, worked with Marvel County. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the way we should all be doing it. Nobody should stand up and name something.
Can I change it for you?
Without it, without
thanks.
Working, having sure everybody.
You change it to yes.
You don't want everybody, all the stakeholders are involved with the process. So again, this is not something I'm really advocating today, but it's something like this. So anybody has questions, email me, call me. All right, Legislator Roberts.
Works for me.
Yeah, I'm good. You didn't hear what I said. I heard every word. I'll check the recording when I get it.
Okay, any other new business?
Did I vote no on something?
Oh, I thought I voted no. Oh,
that was impressive.
Good.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Legislator Archer, second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.